BFFT. From the PAC West Center in downtown Portland, presented by High Caliber Millwrights, here's John Canzano with a bald-faced truth.
One of the strengths of this radio program over 17 years or so is the Rolodex we've developed. And I am proud to say our next guest is a terrific addition to the rotation of guests that I like to work in during college football season. Chip Towers has been covering Georgia Bulldogs football and Georgia Bulldogs athletic programs for years for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. We got to know him a little bit when Oregon hired Dan Lanning. We got to know him even better when Georgia played Oregon and Dan Lanning. Never mind what happened after kickoff. If they played again, would it be a better game? Could it be worse? I talked to Chip Towers at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. I settled in. I turned on my laptop. The game kicked off, and then it was over. Just like that. Chip Towers joining us from the great state of Georgia. How are you, man?
John, it is so nice to hear from you. And yeah, that does seem like ancient history, doesn't it? I feel like I can say with a good bit of conviction, should they play again, and let's verbalize it into the universe right now. I hope they do this year. I don't think it would be 49-3 anybody, for sure. I think it would be a much better game. It looks like your Ducks are loaded for bear out there, I guess you'd say. And Georgia's still doing what Georgia has been doing under Kirby Smart, even after his, good pal and protege, Dan Lanning left the scene here. So, really, really excited what I've seen and read about Oregon. And I'm just coming a couple hours removed from Georgia's sixth preseason camp practice. And there's nothing I saw there that told me that this number one preseason prediction by USA Today coaches can't be realized. And I expect the same preseason ranking to come out when the Associated Press releases its poll in the next few days or week or so.
Georgia at number one in the coaches poll. Chip Towers with us, covers Georgia. You know, Chip, I look at Oregon at number three in that same poll, and I think a lot has changed for Dan Lanning in a couple years. Remember after that Georgia-Oregon game, Kirby Smart made the comment, hey, I've got better players. Dan needs better players. People freaked out about it, but there was truth in that, and Oregon has recruited really well, but how is that going over in the Georgia footprint or in SEC territory as people kind of look at what Lanning has done at Oregon with the portal and with all the tools that Phil Knight has given him?
Well, I'll tell you this right now. They're glad that Oregon is located where it is geographically and that Dan Lanning hasn't chosen an address closer to the University of Georgia, because he certainly could have. And you know, between Kirby Smart and Dan Lanning, there is nothing but the ultimate professional respect. And so, you know, these guys, you know, aren't much for propaganda and that kind of thing. And, you know, looking at it in hindsight, because there's all the pregame rhetoric, right? And you and I were both excited about that as a season opener. Actually, Georgia is going to be back in Mercedes-Benz Stadium on August 31st playing Clemson this time. And, you know, those are great, right? Regional, non-regional games. I mean, non-regional opponents coming together. And then you had all the different storylines, you know, with Lanning coming from Georgia and all that. But at the end of the day, these guys, they know what they have. You know, they know what they have. And in retrospect, I think Kirby went in there pretty confident, and Dan went in there probably without a lot of confidence. Behind the scene, he's never going to exude that. It's not part of his personality, and you want to get everything you can out of your team, and you never know what's going to happen in football, probably as much as any sport. But, you know, I think Dan Lanning heeded Kirby Smart's assessment and went out and got some better players. I mean, I think that's what's happened. It's nothing fancy. You know, they kind of run very similar systems. You know, both at University of Georgia and University of Oregon, you have every resource at your disposal. Thanks to the NCAA and changes in the last several years, everything's above board now. So, you know, Phil Knight's still Phil Knight, and, you know, Georgia fans are still nuts about football and their team, so everybody's ponying up and, you know, doing what they can to bring the best players to the respective campuses. And when you look at the top five now, I think it reflects that. I mean, we can go as down in the weeds as you want to. I like to stay above them myself, but, you know, I think, unfortunately, this is kind of what we're going to see in college football. The haves are going to keep having and they're going to keep getting. And right now, Oregon and Georgia are both halves. Texas is a have. Ohio State is a have. And, you know, they are going to be in the hunt this year. Fortunately, we get to see 12 teams make the cut, and then it might get real interesting after that. But maybe not all that interesting before then.
How do you think that expansion to 12 teams is going to change the postseason?
Well, my most profound, concern, but it's not really a concern. It's more of a interest in seeing is, you know, how it affects championship games. Now, you know, we've heard all the rhetoric and all the commissioners and all them saying that, oh, this, you know, the championship game is still going to be as important as it always was. But is it really, right? I mean, if you know you're in, what about Georgia last year? You know, would they play Carson Beck, you know, in the SEC championship game and just take their chances on going with the backup quarterback and some backups here and there? And heck, you know, the league is going to want as many to get in anyway. So I don't know. I'm a skeptic by trade. And, you know, so we'll see what happens with those. I like the skin in the game factors that they say they're going to use in determining these 12. But, you know, we'll see. We got to get there. And I think it's going to make the postseason more exciting. We'll see how it affects the regular season.
Oregon, for a time, spent a lot of time looking over at maybe Washington or USC. Not so much this year, but now it looks like they're looking at Ohio State because they play them. Who's Georgia thinking about as the season or fall camp, unfolds?
Well, the funny thing that has happened in, you know, really in the Kirby Smart era, it's been the Alabama thing. I mean, I think it's always Alabama. Georgia's success aside, Kirby still struggled like heck with Nick Saban, like everybody else in this league did. So there's nobody probably more pleased behind the scene than the Kirby Smart family to see that man finally retire. And he's, you know, he still has an effect over there, but Kirby Smart was 1-5, against Saban. And so, but those were great games. There were never really any blowouts. Georgia obviously beat them in the biggest game for the national championship. They lost in the national championship game. They lost SEC championships, I think, every time they met. So, so Alabama's hanging there, and they got them on the schedule. It's weird the way the new, you know, SEC schedule came out. And, you know, the last time Georgia played Alabama in a regular season, they went to Tuscaloosa. Well, lo and behold, they're going to Tuscaloosa again. You know, there's so much conspiracy theory around here about, you know, Alabama runs the SEC over there in Birmingham, you know, from afar. And so they got to go. Georgia has to go to Alabama. But there's also a massive amount of intrigue for Texas. You know, Georgia making the first trip there since 1960, playing them for the first time since, well, they played in the Sugar Bowl, but they hadn't played. This will be only the second time ever they've played in the city of Austin. There also happens to be a Formula F1 race that weekend, so I'm still figuring out where I'm going to stay and exactly how I'm going to get there that particular weekend. That's crazy. And Georgia has to go to the road, you know, against Ole Miss and in Kentucky too. So, you know, it feels a little bit like an NFL schedule in terms of how, you know, the SEC / NFL Junior turned out these 2024 schedules. Georgia's got the toughest schedule in the league, but they're not whining about it. You know, at the SEC media days, which were held in Dallas this year, you know, Kirby and the Bulldogs basically said, bring it on, you know, to be the best, you got to beat the best and all that kind of stuff. And because of the 12-team playoff, I think there is room for error, unlike it certainly was in the BCS era.
Chip Towers, Atlanta Journal-Constitution with us, covers Georgia. You've got Texas in the SEC, and you have Kalen DeBoer now instead of Nick Saban at Alabama. Can you unpack those two things a little bit? Like, you know, I think during media days there was an awful lot of talk about Texas. And some of the teams, I don't know if Georgia was, but some of the teams were annoyed by that. Like, you know, Texas coming in, and why is everybody talking about Texas? And then this shift from Saban to DeBoer. What happens at Alabama with that new regime?
Well, you know, it was what made it truly interesting for me, and I think everybody else, was just Saban's presence there. You know, it's like most of the time when a guy leaves and retires, you don't see him. But, you know, he had more airtime than anybody. And it wasn't just the airtime. If you were there attending, you know, the proceedings at the Omni Hotel in downtown Dallas, I mean, Saban was everywhere. You know, when he wasn't, you know, on the set and on TV with the SEC Network, he was doing this radio over here and this satellite show over here and this show over there. So, yeah, if you wanted something from Saban, you could just walk up and ask him about it. So that was kind of interesting. And I think, you know, Kalen DeBoer's got to feel that a little bit. Now, he, you know, he's no dummy. I mean, he's embraced it. And my understanding is, you know, Nick Saban has been around in an advocate capacity, whatever that is. I mean, I don't know. I don't cover Alabama, and you know, we'll see. The other interesting part of it is, you know, just the, you know, you don't know what's truth and fiction, but, you know, they just, you know, reading the Alabama, you know, Twitter feed, X feed, whatever you want to call it, that, you know, about, you know, they're playing music now, or this is not how Saban did it. This is something you'd never see at a Saban practice. And, but look, you know, they're still loaded with great players. You know, I mean, the last, if you look at the last five recruiting classes, which are, you know, mostly comprise what that roster is, they're all great. They're, you know, right there hand in hand with Georgia. Kalen DeBoer clearly knows what to do with good players. Heck, he knows what to do with players that maybe aren't as good. I mean, he's a good coach. It's not smoke and mirrors. Now, he's a long way from his comfort zone, and, you know, we'll see how all that translates eventually, but they have good players over there. And but there's, you know, there's a very healthy dose of skepticism about an outsider being able to come in and be there. And again, I don't mean to turn this back to Dan Lane, but I know a lot of Georgia fans probably, you know, exhaled relief when Dan Lanning, I don't know how deep it got. I didn't cover it that close like I did when Oregon was talking to Lanning. But I don't know how far down the road they got that. But I know that would have been a huge hire for Alabama. And I know Oregon, the big win for Phil Knight and the Oregon Ducks to keep him out there.
Chip Towers with us, Atlanta Journal-Constitution. All right, you've watched Kirby Smart take over at Georgia. He went 8-5 his first season, and then it really clicked for him. 13-2, got to the national title game. Then it's just been 11-3 and 12-2, and skipped the pandemic year. 14-1, 15-0, 13-1. You watched him turn a corner. What happened in that first season that set Kirby Smart up, do you think, to really soar in season two and beyond?
Well, it's up front. It's really not that fancy, and there's a lot of things that are different about football nowadays, but one thing hasn't changed is you got to win up front, and Kirby Smart called that when he first showed up in 2016, sometimes behind the scenes, sometimes in front of the scenes, he said, man, we got to get bigger. He came from Alabama where, everybody's, 6'4", 6'5", across the line. 300 plus pounds. We got to get, he didn't see enough of those kind of dudes at Georgia. I'm sitting here right before you called, watching a commitment video of a guy that chose Georgia. And this guy is just typical of what you've seen under Kirby Smart. He's an offensive lineman from the city of Atlanta. He's 6'8", 340 pounds. They just brought in a 6'10", I don't know if you read about this, but a basketball player, who was playing out there in California and just changed his mind, decided he wanted to play football. And Georgia was there to scoop him up. He's on campus in the class of 24, and they're trying to make a football player. I mean, very athletic, 6'10", 40 or 50 pound guy. He's very athletic from what I've seen of him in practice. But this guy Juan Gaston's coming, and that's the case again this year. If you look at across the fronts, Georgia hasn't been quite as dominant on the defensive line. I mean, those are the players everybody's fighting over in the trenches, tooth and nail right now. NIL, everything else, but offensive line, Georgia's loaded again. All those guys across the front, they got 3 fifth-year seniors over there. They're actually talking. They've been able to talk some guys into coming back and foregoing the NFL for another year to pursue, college championships. And between that and, Carson Beck and getting Trevor Etienne to come in, Georgia's playing a lot more in the transfer portal now, not necessarily to the degree that Dan is or a lot of other people, but, I think they got 11 – through the transfer portal this year, including Ben Jurasek out of Stanford, an all Pac-12 tight end. Colby Young, an all ACC wide receiver out of Miami. They're playing a little bit more in the free agency game, I guess you'd call it nowadays. And as you alluded to, if you count the COVID years, think about it. Wrap your head around this, John. Georgia has won 47 of its last 49 games. Two losses going back into the COVID season because they didn't lose toward the end of it and didn't get a chance to play for a national championship that year. But, it's pretty incredible what they've been able to do during this current run.
Let me ask you this, because you kind of talked about the portal, and Dan Lanning is – pushed back against the narrative that, they're just buying players or they have an unlimited war chest and all that. But how is Oregon's talent acquisition going over in the SEC footprint? How are people there viewing that part of the Oregon operation?
Well, it's interesting. The talk here, and you might be able to speak a little to this, John. I thought about giving you a call and haven't had an opportunity to, but there's kind of some sort of, Southern Cal, Georgia thing going on. I don't know if you've noticed this, but they've ended up grappling over a few players. Obviously Southern Cal got Bear Alexander a few years ago, and Georgia has, snatched up Michael Jackson the third from Southern Cal through the transfer portal and have gone head-to-head on a couple of guys that Georgia's won on here lately. It's been interesting. I'm sure you saw the banter between Dan and Kirby said something, I guess it was at SEC Media Days, about having that Oregon money, Dan having that Oregon money, and then and then Dan says, hey, it's not like Kirby hadn't been able to check the recruiting range, check and see what he's been doing. So it's not like he's over there in the soup line. And it's true. The free agent market is what it is now, and you're either in it or not. Now, one thing I think Kirby Smart has done especially well, fan bases are all different. The Texas schools, they're going to have a giant war chest. There's certain certain schools and certain fan bases, you know, that are going to probably have a deeper pool than maybe Georgia does or some other people. But Georgia, it's about passion. There's a lot of a lot in terms of number of alumni, very passionate about their base. But Kirby, I think, does a good job of selling that it ain't all about the money. We're here to get you the big money later, not the little money now. Come here. He has a very socialistic system, as I understand it. Now, getting real information with real veracity and truthfulness about NIL is impossible. That's the reason all these coaches want, you know, some kind of new system to sort of monitor everything. So getting a straight answer about that is really hard. But Georgia seems to have a pretty good sort of socialistic structure. If you're a starter here, this is what the pay is. You know, if you're a regular here, this is what the pay is. If you're a walk-on or backup, this is what you get through our collective and through NIL. Anything you earn over in that is up to you. And so guys like Carson Beck, you know, is driving a $273,000 Lamborghini. You know, Texas is apparently giving them away like cotton candy when you sign there. I don't know what Oregon's doing. I haven't been following it close enough, but, you know, at least they're going to get a nice pair of shoes, I'm sure. Maybe a little, you know, wardrobe. But that's where we're at. And I think Kirby's done a pretty decent job of walking that fine line between development and, you know, early reward. He's doing a pretty good job of that right now.
Chip Towers, I would love to catch back up with you maybe in the middle of the season or after they've played some games, but keep doing what you're doing, man. You do a fantastic job, and, you know, maybe I'll see you during the playoff if Oregon or one of these other teams goes far enough to get in a game with Georgia.
I truly hope so, John. And you got to clear me up on this now. I mean, are you still my Pac-12 expert, or is it Pac-2 or kind of – are you a Big Ten guy now? I mean, I don't know how to process this.
I've got them all covered. I'm just going to keep doing what I'm doing. I'm covering all the teams that I covered before. So you have a question about the Big Ten teams from the Pacific time zone, I'm your guy. And if you have a question about the Pac-12, I'm your guy. And if you have a question about Grandma's Italian spaghetti sauce, I'm your guy for that too.
All right. I'm good for all. I could call you with all of those.
Chip Towers, thank you, man.
Thanks, pal.
There he goes from the great state of Georgia. I love checking in with him. That's the number one team in the coaches poll. We'll get number two, Ohio State, in the 5 o'clock hour. I hope you're here for it.